Niagara, Catskill, and Hudson. Listeners supported Hands On Radio for Green and Columbia County. I'm Antonia. I'm from Hudson. I'm 11 years old.
And I'm Emily. I'm also from Hudson, and I'm the Youth Programs Coordinator here at WGXC. And usually each week, Quinn and I are here, Mondays from 3:30 to 4 p.m., talking about books that we love and books that we're currently reading. And we're often joined by Madeline as well. But unfortunately, the two of them could not join us today due to the weekend storm. So we wish them all the best. But we're lucky enough to have Antonia here with us today. Antonia is joining the Battle of the Books team for Hudson, which Quinn and Madeline are also a part of. So welcome, Antonia. And I know you brought a book to talk about today. Oh, what's that book?
Al Capone Does My Shirts.
And it's by Jennifer Choldenko. And this is one of the Battle of the Books chosen books. There's 8 books that youth from around the region are reading as part of a trivia book contest, which is happening September 10th, coming soon. And so what can you tell us about this book?
It takes place on Alcatraz in the 1930s. It's about a 12-year-old boy named Moose and his sister, Natalie.
Is Moose his real name?
No, his real name is Matthew.
What, do you know why he's called Moose? Do they explain it? Or?
Well, his sister has autism disease, and she started calling him Moose.
Ah. And what happens in the story?
Well,
without giving too much away, but.
Well, there, Moose goes to a school on, in San Francisco, and his sister, Natalie, tries out to go to a school for people with special needs called the Esther P. Marinoff, and does not get accepted. And Al Capone helps her get in to the school.
Interesting. Because he's a prisoner on Alcatraz, right?
Or
at the time when it takes place. And I think, I haven't read this book yet. But I think I remember from the description there was a friendship between Moose and another character that was part of the story.
Piper was her name.
Mm-hmm.
And she also goes to school with Moose and lives on Alcatraz. And she's very annoying.
She's annoying?
Yeah.
To Moose or to you?
To Moose.
What about to you? Would you be annoyed by her?
I would be annoyed by her, but I think she's funny.
Ah. And what did you think of the book? Did you like it?
I thought it was a good book.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite part or a favorite aspect of it?
I think the whole book is good.
And who do you think would like this kind of book?
I think anyone from 10 to 14 would enjoy to read this book.
And did you have a favorite character?
I think Natalie was my favorite character.
The sister?
Yeah.
What'd you like about her as a character?
I just thought she was funny and a good character.
So you mentioned two of the characters are funny, the sister and Piper. Mm-hmm. Is this book a funny book in general, or just some of the characters funny?
Some of the characters were funny. It wasn't funny, really.
Is it a mystery at all, or is it, like, what kind of?
It's just, I don't know.
Just a story about some friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you'd ever want to live on an island?
No.
Especially not Alcatraz, probably.
Yeah.
But you were just in California, right?
Yeah, I came back from California 3 days ago. I was in Long Beach.
Oh. Did you do anything fun while you were there?
I went to Universal Studios.
Mm. Did you have a favorite part of the studio visit?
I liked to see how they did special effects in the movies. We watched a show about that.
Oh, cool. That sounds fun. I went there when I was little, so I don't really remember it. So I think I was like 5.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, and you're reading 2 other books for Battle of the Books right now, right?
Yeah.
And which titles are those?
Peeled, and the name of this book is Secret.
And what do you think of those 2 so far?
I think Peeled is a good book. I think the name of this book is Secret is kind of tacky.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
Cool. What do you like about Peeled so far?
I think it's interesting, and it takes place in upstate New York, which is nice because you know about upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Wow, we just had Madeline show up with a big pile of books. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. Why don't we play a little song, and then we'll get back and we'll talk to Madeline a little bit.
International Big Mega Radio Smasher.
I had the time of my life, and I never felt this way before. And I swear this is true, and I owe it all to you.
Oh, I had the time of my life, and I never felt this way before. And I swear this is true, and I owe it all to you.
Dirty bit.
Way before, and I
Dirty Bit.
Welcome. This is the beginning. For every ending is Mega Starter. When they bring the dark, we bring the light. Let's go.
Welcome back. If you're just turning in, you're listening to Bound by Books on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acora, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
And we just heard from Antonia about, I'm forgetting the book, Al Capone Does My Shirts? Okay. I always forget because there's a sequel that shines my shoes, and I always forget which is which. But while we were talking about books, Madeline came in. Yay! You're here. And you brought a book to talk about. So, what is it?
It's No More Dead Dogs by Gordon Corman. And it's about this guy named Wallace Wallace. And he is a football player. And he's supposedly the star of the football team, but that's only because he caught a catch in the championship the year before and he won the game for them. But he's not a good football player, really. So he's worshipped by everybody, and he doesn't want to be. And then he's this kind of guy that always tells the truth, no matter what. As he says in it, he's like, I would tell the truth if gangster held my grandmother at gunpoint. He would still tell the truth. That's what he said. And so he writes this book report on Old Shep, My Pal, for his English teacher, and he says, like, it's the worst book I've ever read. The dog always has to die, and the English teacher gets furious and gives him detention just because he told the truth. And so he says, once you write a better report, then you can get off detention, and you can't go in any extra school activities when you're on detention, so he couldn't be on the football team. And his detention ended up being going to the rehearsals of the school play, which turned out to be Old Shep, My Pal. And he ends up turning the play around, and it's really, really funny.
So is the idea that in the play there's a dog that dies? Or no?
In the play, you know how, like, in lots of books that, like, if you have an award on the front and there's a picture of a dog, dog's name, the dogs usually die, like, I don't know, Sounder or Old Yeller, Old Chet My Pal, or Stone Fox. And this book is going against that. So in the play, he eventually becomes sort of the director of the play and he changes stuff about it. I can't tell anymore, though.
Oh, okay. And what did you like about this book?
It was just extremely funny. It was really funny. I liked it a lot. I got it from my cousins, and I just read it. It was really funny.
Did you have a favorite character?
Yes. I liked Wallace Wallace, and I also liked Rachel and, I forget her name, Toonie, I think that's her name. It goes for different characters. Wallace Wallace is the main protagonist, is that how you say it?
Protagonist.
Protagonist, yeah. But it also goes to Mr. Fogelman, the English teacher's point of view, and Rachel's point of view, and Tony's point of view, and different chapters. But it's mostly Wallace. And Rachel is this girl who wants to be an actress, and she's in the play, and she is infuriated by Wallace Wallace, who is changing it. And it's really funny. And Toonie is Rachel's best friend, who has a crush on Wallace Wallace. And she goes crazy, and she's also in the play.
And you were mentioning that you really like this author. What other books has, is it Gordon Corman?
Yep.
What other books has he written?
He's also written the On the Run series, the Kidnap series with the same characters as On the Run, some of the 39 Clues books, and other books, but I'm not sure what they are. exactly.
How is this book similar or different than his other books?
It's actually quite different, because his other books are mostly action books, and this one is just a comedy book, so it's really, really different from his others. Which I was surprised by when I read it, that it was by him. I didn't exactly realize that at first. Second time I read the book, I was like, oh, I didn't know that.
Ooh. And who do you think would like this book?
Definitely people who like funny and comedy books, and definitely for people who hate the books that the dog dies, which is me.
I've read one book where the dog dies that I really loved the book.
Oh, what one?
I was very upset when the dog died. I don't want to say, but there's one book that I read recently that is one of my favorite books I've read this year, and the dog dies, and it's heartbreaking, but it's such a good book, and I feel like if the dog had lived, it would have been a different book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, the heartbreak was part of what made it so good.
Yeah, like, those books are really good, but I don't want to read them.
But it is hard going into a book with a dog in it, because you're like, I can't get too attached, because that dog is going to die.
Yeah. And in this book, there's not actually a dog, but it's called No More Dead Dogs because of the play.
I like the cover. There's a dog that looks like he's playing dead. I'm assuming he's playing dead and not really dead.
No, he's not, because on the back he's got glasses on and he's looking at you, and he's sitting down.
That is odd. Funny. Well, thanks for sharing that one. We have a little bit of time left, so I thought I'd preview a book that I'm reading, which I'm going to read the back of it, because I'm maybe a third of the way in, but I was reading the back earlier, and I realized that there's something on the back that hasn't happened yet, and I hadn't really paid that much attention to the back of the book when I read it, so mm-hmm. It says that somebody's going to die, and I didn't know. But this book is called All These Things I've Done, and it's by Gabrielle Zevin, I believe is how you pronounce her name, and she's also the author of Elsewhere. I'm not sure if either of you have read that, but that was one of the Battle of the Books books last year.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. And I believe it's about a young woman who, I think she passes away,
elsewhere.
But then is sort of like, she's sort of elsewhere.
Oh, okay.
I think. I shouldn't say anything about it because I haven't read it. But anyways, this one, I'll read from the back of the book. It says, in 2083, chocolate and caffeine are illegal, water is carefully rationed, books are scarce, and New York City is rife with poverty and crime. And yet, for Anya Balanchine, the 16-year-old daughter of the city's most notorious and dead crime boss, life is fairly routine. But when she finds herself falling for the son of the new assistant district attorney and her ex-boyfriend is poisoned by the chocolate her family manufactures, Anya is unwillingly thrust into the spotlight, in the news, and more important, within her mafia family. So I didn't realize her ex-boyfriend was going to die until I just read this earlier. He's still alive, 100 pages in.
But he seems like
he's addicted to chocolate.
And it's illegal?
Yep. But her family's this mafia family, and they make chocolates. Like crime, like sort of like Al Capone.
Do you have a favorite character?
I guess so far I'm most interested in Leo, who is Anya's brother, who was in an accident. He was in a car with his mom and dad, and somebody was trying to kill her father and accidentally killed her mother, and her brother was in the car and got in an accident, and he hasn't quite been the same ever since. So like his mental processing isn't the same as it used to be. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do with his character, because it seems like he maybe is more mentally functional than people give him credit for. So I like him a lot. I'm also interested in what it looks like is going to be the love interest in the story, this new guy, Will. He seems cool. So I'm curious to see what happens with him. And I think I read somewhere that this is the start of a series. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it says it's a new series. Cool. And it's pretty neat. It takes place in New York City. And so it's neat also seeing how the city is different. So it's sort of the slow building of figuring out what the city's like.
I like books that take place in the future. I read a series a little while ago that took place in the future.
Hmm.
It was called the Ugly series.
Oh, yeah.
It is good.
I've read the first one. I haven't read the other ones.
Who's the author? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
Scott Westerfeld.
Westerfeld.
I believe is his name. I can't remember if it's Westerfeld or Field.
I don't know.
But, yeah, he's a good writer. But yeah, so I'm excited to see where this goes. Again, I'm about a third or maybe a quarter of the way in. And this book is coming out next month. On the book, it says September 27th, but I think it's been pushed forward to September 6th. So next week, it should be out on bookshelves, which is exciting.
What book is it?
All These Things I've Done?
Yeah, I mean the one that's coming out.
Oh, this one. This is an advanced copy, so... So I'm reading it ahead of publication.
Oh, you are?
But it'll be out on shelves next week, so then everybody can read it.
That
gets
book?
It. Mm-hmm.
Oh, how'd you get to read it before?
Somebody sent it to me to review.
Cool.
So every once in a while, I'm able to read some ahead of time, which is fun, because then I can share it with people before it comes out. Yay. But I'm interested also to see how the chocolate plays into it, because obviously her family manufactures chocolate, and there's going to be something going on with that because this kid dies from eating it.
So it does say he dies, not just that he's poisoned?
Oh, maybe he's just poisoned. Good point.
He could be poisoned and change, but it doesn't necessarily mean he dies.
That's true.
There was
already
one person who died. I mean, who was changed, so... Mm-hmm. Then there could be two people who were changed.
It's true.
Ah. Or he might die. Who knows?
But yeah, so I'm interested to see how the chocolate's going to play out. And on the cover, there's this chocolate heart that's dripping. It just makes me so hungry every time I look at this book.
Drippy.
Doesn't it make you want to have chocolate?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that it's inspiring. It makes me eat lots of chocolate, have lots of caffeine. Not too much, but... enough, and read lots of books, because books are scarce in this future world, which is sad, because I guess paper has become very expensive in the future.
It's a shame.
Yeah. It sounds like they use something called, I think it's called a slate, and it sounds like it's sort of like an iPad or a Kindle, you know, something that you can read on and write on instead of paper.
I like books better.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you just don't get the smell and the feel as like a Kindle or a Nook or whatever they are.
Yeah.
So
I kind of like that they call it the slate, though, because, you know, in the old days in school, they used a little slate.
Yeah.
You know, like
chalk
with chalk. So I kind of like that the technology in the future is called slate. Very interesting. Well, anyways, we're actually running out of time. So I think we're going to leave everybody with a little song. And then hopefully we'll see you all back here next week. And hopefully Quinn will be able to join us next week, too. My guess is the roads will be cleared up by then.
Yeah. She lives in the mountains, right? That's why.
Mm-hmm.
It's Windham. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. I think she and her mom are okay, but they're cleaning up today. And I think some of their neighbors got hit a little bit harder. But so we wish everybody the best over in Greene County and look forward to hearing from you all next week. Take care. Oh, and here's a song by Death by Chocolate, since we were talking about chocolate. It's a cover of Cat Stevens.
That's good.
Goodbye.
Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free. 'Cause there's a million things to be. You know that there are. If you want to live high, live high. And if you want to live low, live low. 'Cause there's a million ways to go. You know that there are. You can do what you want. The opportunity's on. And if you find a new way, you can do it today. Undo you see, oh, it's easy, oh, you only need to know. Well, if you want to say yes, say yes, and if you want to say no, 'cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. And if you want to be me, to be you, be you, 'cause there's a million things to do, you know that there are. You can do what you want, the opportunity's on, and if you find a new way, you can do it today. You can make it all true, you can make it undo.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre Hudson Catskill.
WGXC, founding underwriting support, is provided by Rip Van Winkle Tobacco-Free Action of Columbia and Greene Counties, working to reduce cigarette and tobacco marketing in and around stores, for kids' sake. TobaccoFreeNYS.org.
Welcome to the 4 o'clock hour. This is Greg Osofsky here on GXC for the afternoon show on this Monday, August 29th, 2011. We have a very special show today. We're going to be talking to a lot of people about this weekend and the Hurricane Irene that came through with a lot of varying degrees of seriousness and trauma to different communities. So we, in fact, are suffering from that as well. Our transmitter no longer has power. So if you're listening to this, it's most likely through the internet. And we're learning, we're growing, and we're going to really explore this, our first natural disaster as a radio station. So we'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll be talking to people out there dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Irene. Thank you. And I'm back. This is Greg Osofsky here at WGXC on the afternoon show. As I said, we're going to have a special show today where we're going to be talking about this past weekend, Hurricane Irene, the aftermath. A lot of flooding, a lot of power loss, especially across the river on the west side of the river. And in the studio, we're going to be talking with Sarah Kendall, WGXC station manager, and basically the person who's been dealing with the impact that this storm has had on the station. Definitely a learning experience for us, and we're going to explore what we're finding out, what we're learning, and what types of things need to change for us to be in a better position next time around, both us as a station and us as a community. So, Sarah, thanks for joining me here.
So WGXC's power at our transmitter site went down yesterday morning, just as we were sort of preparing to be part of the emergency broadcast network. So we haven't been broadcasting on 90.7 FM since yesterday morning, but we had just plugged ourselves into some of the online emergency discourse that's been happening, and really plugged into one site in particular called watershedpost.com. It's two women who run up at the Watershed Post. It's a website they've been using, a live blogging service called Cover It Live, to bring real-time updates on the tropical storm. And they've got a network of collaborators. There's a couple of dozen people that they have it's now become hundreds of people who are actively updating their live feed with photographs and reports from all over the place. And they've become sort of the regional go-to person for the national media too, and understanding what's going on in the Catskills. They're actually based in Delaware County, so their coverage is mostly on the western side of the river, but they are a lot of Ulster County, Delaware County, and Greene County coverage. So within our listening area, the towns that have been most really up in the mountains in the Catskills, in Haines Falls, in Windham, in Prattsville, in Tannersville. Towns really truly devastated. Windham, the fire chief in Windham had basically said the downtown in Windham was destroyed. Something like 60 homes washed away up there. We've been getting images from Dharma Daly, who is part of WGXC's radio council, of the town of Haines Falls and some of the homes that have been received some real destruction there, and also farms on that side of the river also. Really, the flooding that's happened in the floodplains and in these low-lying areas have just proven to be pretty devastating up in the mountains there, and then closer to the river also in Catskill and in Cairo, those main streets I think in Athens were just pretty flooded. So there are still a lot of people who are in pretty severe emergency situations. People in intense cleanup efforts with nothing. So I've been following the watershedpost.com. There's also a Facebook page called Irene in the Catskills, where people are connecting about volunteer support and distributing resources. It's called Irene in the Catskills, that match people's resources with people's needs, mostly again up in the Catskills. There's also been intense amount of roads closed in Greene and Columbia counties, and a lot of warnings to folks who are just trying to drive around that the emergency vehicles really need to have the roadways right now.
I gotta say, as you know, down in Dutchess County where I'm coming from, there was not this kind of impact. And I knew stuff was going on across the river, but not having been online today or checking it out, I really had no idea. This is pretty big happening across the river. And so the Watershed Post, is that something, how did you find out about that? And what other resources, or if any, do you think there are for people who want to just be informed about what's going going on?
Well, so the Watershed Post, actually, they have a weekly radio show that we are preparing to start broadcasting on WGXC. So they are two women that we've been in touch with about some of the local news coverage that they do. So they do produce a weekly radio show called the Watershed Post. And again, they're in Delaware County, but it kind of focuses on the Catskills region. They one of the best resources I've seen through their website, they've just linked just about 20 minutes ago, they linked to a Google map that has flood, bridge, damage, closures information. So it's a really, it's one of the easier to read maps. It's a Google map that shows maps out bridge and road washouts, towns that took severe damage and are washed out, towns that took damage but are still functioning and are passable. It has a different color. This is all color coded. It has a color code for roads that are closed, for trees and power lines down. And then also marked are roads that are the easiest paths to some towns in Greene County if you do have property or family up that way. So that's kind of a cool resource that they have, this road closures map. It actually is only, as far as I can tell, that is only in the Catskills that that's covering, or at least only in Greene, Albany, Rensselaer counties, et cetera. So where there are also a lot of road closures in Columbia County too. I know actually out kind of by you, by Copaic and Hillsdale, there were roads closed for some time.
And the,
and also it's just about half an hour ago, Governor Cuomo had a live stream sort of assessing flood damage. And a lot of, he talked a lot about tips for people with real property damage. We actually have a clip, an audio clip that we can play in a little while that outlines what to do if you have property or home damage, how to navigate the world of insurance, et cetera, from Governor Cuomo. He said his part of his assessment was that New York City was hit far. New York City and Long Island, the storm was far less, not as bad as had been anticipated. Just in terms of expectations, but that the Catskills and also Vermont and were not prepared to handle that amount that amount of flooding. He also said not necessarily that they weren't prepared because they hadn't done the necessary preparation work, but there's just about no way to be prepared for water levels that are that high, just totally record breaking floods.
And were the amounts of rain that substantially different than what was predicted? Is that what happened, or was it just the impact of it was more than expected based on how much we predicted? Do you have a sense?
I don't know, but we are going to talk to someone in about a half an hour, in about 20 minutes, who's going to be able to answer that a little bit better. So,
real quick though, can we bring it to the to our transmitter? The reason for its outage is a power loss, and so what's the story on power over across the river, which is where our transmitter is?
Central Hudson has been updating through social media. They're posting pictures of where they're going. They have hundreds of thousands of people out of power.
Yeah.
And they said their statistic this morning was that they had recovered about 30% of the outages and were still trucking away. But they also just put out a note in the last 10 minutes that it was going to take about a week to do full recovery of all of the utility outages. WGXC does rely on Central Hudson power at our transmitter site. So we're sitting right now in our Hudson studio and we're operating just fine. We've got our WGXC stream going. Our electricity is good here, our internet, but at our transmitter site where the magic for broadcast actually happens, we are not, that is just the one thing that we have, because we don't have a major generator yet as a baby radio station, we cannot be broadcasting until Central Hudson has the power back up there. Our technical director said that it was not just a line that was down over there, but one of the poles had gone down, which might explain why it's taken a little bit longer, because most houses in that area do have their power back. So we are going to use the time that we are not on the air to continue with our stream and also to keep trying to record and archive some of the voices that have been affected by the storms and get those, start to build an archive of that so that we can be kind of witness to some of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So what do we have in store for people today? It's 4:15. I know we have a big lineup. What can people expect to be hearing from? Who can they expect to be hearing from in the next hour or two?
We're going to be talking to Erica DeLong, who's in Cairo, about some of the work that she's doing to raise some money and bring together some resources for her folks and their neighbors in the Maple Crest area up in Windham. She's planning an event this Friday to help get some resources together. We're going to talk to her first. Maybe after a song, we'll get her on the phone. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking to Ira McIntosh, who is also a little bit south of here. He's in Delaware County, but can talk to us about floodplains in the Catskills and some of the from a kind of hydraulic perspective. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking to Mick Bessire. I hope his cell phone service is sort of spotty because he's going around visiting farms in, mm-hmm. in mostly in Greene County. Mm-hmm. He works at the Cornell Cooperative Extension in ACRA, but is also based up in Hunter in the mountains. So he has been kind of monitoring the agricultural impact of the floods, mm-hmm. As well as, he's in Hunter, so his own neighborhood. And then we'll be also talking to Andy Sismanowitz, who is a farmer that you and I both know really well. He's mm-hmm. out in Copake, flooded fields, about kind of personal agricultural perspective. And then hopefully we'll also have Dharma Daly on the line. She's in Haines Falls and mm-hmm. has been sending us pictures all day of the floods up there.
Great. Well, I'm really glad we have a nice set of people to talk to. I think it's a really important role that we have to play, which is to record this history and also to learn from it. So I'm looking forward to hearing from all those folks. We'll just play a little Sunvolt as we get our first guest on the line.
Now and then it keeps you running, never seems to die. Trail spent with fear, not enough living on the outside. Never seem to get far enough, staying in between the lines. Hold on to what you can, waiting for the end, not knowing when. May the wind take your troubles away. May the wind take your troubles away. Both feet on the floor, two hands on the wheel. May the wind take your troubles away. Switching